I want to look at Abraham tonight. I know you want to get home before the roads freeze solid, but let's look at Abraham for a little while. Hebrews chapter 11 said, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac." That probably immediately brings the story to you, found in Genesis 22. In James chapter 2, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I like that thought. Abraham had a few points that he struggled with. He failed a couple of times, but we do see that Abraham really, really followed after God's leading. If we go back to Genesis chapter 22, it tells us in the very first verse that God did tempt Abraham. Now, other translations don't use that word tempt. They use the word, some of them use the word tested, tried, tested. It's just working on that test or that to see what is really in the heart of Abraham. Tried. When we think about the word tried, we probably think about, in this context, we probably think about gold being tried by fire and when it's been purified, it comes forth as a pure gold. Abraham was being tried. He was being tested. God was testing Abraham to the very core. And when we come out of it, when we see him come out of it, we find in the book of James, as I've read to you, that he is called by God, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit into the pen of James, that he is called the friend of God. We sang a little bit about that. One of the songs we talked about was "He is a Friend," and that kind of stood out to me knowing where I was going this evening. It stood out to me in that thought. A friend. What is a friend? What is a friend? Maybe I shouldn't use names, but especially when he's not here to defend himself. But I asked Donnie one time, Donnie Montgomery, Donnie Shipman, whichever word way you want to say that. I asked him one time about his friends, and his friends would come out and take things from him so that they could sell, make money. They would come out and strip the copper out of his trailer, out of his dwelling, rip the walls apart and take that out of there. And I'd say, "Donnie, are they really friends? What are your friends? What do you call a friend? You talk to anybody that's on the downside and they have friends that are gathered around, and it just depends on what your circumstances are as to what kind of friend they really are. I know a young man that came into a whole bunch of money, and as long as he was free with that money and parties and crazy stuff and buying things and sharing all that stuff, he had a lot of friends, and everybody was buddy-buddy to him. But when that money was gone, when that money was completely gone, suddenly he was all alone. Nobody seemed to have any interest in him." You're probably with me that's really not friends. What do you think about when you think about a friend? What do you call a friend? If we're on the same page tonight, we're thinking that a friend is a person that we can trust, someone that we like, someone that we know and they know us. We're not talking about Facebook friends. We're talking about friends, somebody that you really know. Somebody that you really know that you can trust. In Well, it's been said that if you have one or two real friends in your life, you're blessed. Maybe you could define a friend as someone or a person with whom you have that you are an ally with in the midst of a struggle or for a cause. Someone that you're allied with in the midst of a struggle or a cause. I don't know what definition you want to use, but it would seem as though when God calls Abraham his friend, that there is something here that would indicate trust, knowledge, understanding, and union. Allied. When we look at this story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, it's hard for you and myself to understand this. It's hard for us to grasp this because it's so beyond our concepts. I would love to be able to go back and feel what Abraham was feeling, to see what Abraham was seeing. I struggle to understand all these things that may have been going on. But what we find at the end of the story is that Abraham was painting a picture of real consecration, not just sentimentalism. There was real consecration here. He wasn't just in it for the Sunday emotion, but he was in it for the long haul, that there was something about him when God called him out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, out of his father's house, to go into a land that he wasn't aware of and travel a distance to a place that he wasn't even sure of. There was something that was beginning there that culminated or developed into a crop of consecration in his heart, in his life. Consecration, serious consecration. There's no doubt that Abraham was a testimony to people around him of God, of Jehovah his God. That he was a witness for God, for those that are around him. They knew that there was something different about Abraham. And now God comes to him and tests him at this point of his life. Abraham has struggled somewhat about the promise that God gave him, that he was going to make Abraham a father of many nations, and yet he was how old before he had any children? And then that one child really wasn't God's plan, that wasn't God's direction. They got out of step with God. And it became a problem. So we know that he had a little bit of issue, and he believed God in that sense. I believe that, reading what I'm reading, I believe that he believed God, but he was trying to listen to his wife and trying to work out things in his own rationale and his own reasoning. So when we come to this point where Isaac is now his son and they're growing up, some people think that he could have been a man of 30 years old. Probably most of us think of him as a young boy or a teenager at best, but some scholars would say that he was possibly 30 years old. Now, that puts a whole new picture here, doesn't it? What would Sarah say if he were to tell Sarah what God was? Moms, you know, put yourself here. What would Sarah say? I don't know. It's hard for me to even talk about because it makes me cringe. I don't think that Abraham was any different than what we are in his feelings. I think that he felt the same cringe that we think of and feel about this story. It would seem as though that Abraham was of such a mind that he surely would have been of the thinking that this went against his religious convictions, so to speak. Maybe he could be wrapped up and caught up in the idea that his reputation was at stake. There's so many things that could come into this situation that would keep him from obeying God. And reasonably so. Did you catch? I said reasonably so. Reasoning from the human standpoint, it would be easy for him to step back and disobey God from the reasoning point, from the human rationale point, from the religious point. So many things could come into this that would keep him from obeying God. I'm pretty confident tonight that God will never ask us to do literally what it appears that God was asking him to do. Because God never goes against what we have as our written word of God. Why it happened then, you know, I don't really have solid answers in that sense, but I really don't think God's going to call us to do literally, but God does call us to the same level of obedience. To be a friend of God, he calls us to the same level of obedience. I think there's four things that are shown to us in the obedience of Abraham. In the way that Abraham responded to the demand of God. And it's something for us to consider. It's something for us to take in and to hang on to as well. Number one, as I read Genesis 22, this story unfolds. It does not give me a day-to-day timeline exactly of how it takes place. But what it does tell me is that there was no delay when God called Abraham. Abraham responded. He obeyed without delay. He rose early in the morning. That's what it tells us. When he found out about it, he rose early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he proceeded to make that journey. So important. It is so important that we obey God without delay. Young people, it's so important that you learn to obey God without delay. When you know God's will, when you understand that God has spoken, do not delay, do not back up, do not try to chisel your way around by human reasoning, but absolutely follow God without delay. As we delay, or as we work around things with human reasoning and what we are thinking and maybe what our fears would be, it begins to open up the door for the enemy to bring in a little bit of doubt that can ultimately change the course of our obedience. If we are going to be a friend of God, we must first of all develop within our thinking that we will obey without any delay. The second thing that I see in Abraham is that he obeyed without reserve. He obeyed without reserve. What do you mean by that? Well, he made every possible provision. He took care of everything. He took the fire. He took the wood. He took the knife. He had his son Isaac with him. He went about this with full understanding that he was going to obey God. There was no reservation within him. He was going to go through with it. When I say there's no reservation, there certainly was on the human side, but in his heart and in his faith, he was following through without reserve. He did not hold back. The third thing I notice is that he obeyed without drama or fanfare. That's one thing about Facebook and social media, is all the drama. That just makes for an exciting life, an exciting day, all the drama. You know, what would Abraham have posted? What kind of drama could he have worked up here? But he did it without drama. He did it without fanfare. He didn't really want a whole lot of attention. 3 days of travel to Moriah, to Mount Moriah. So it was a deliberate deed. It was a trotting. It was a planting one foot in front of the other. It was a determination, as the New Testament would indicate for us, that we are to strive to enter in. That was probably what the spirit of Abraham was. There was a working together to obey God, putting one foot in front of the other. I pastored a man for a while that struggled with the knowledge, wanting, he just didn't believe that God could forgive him. Good man, sat on the board for a number of years. Just a great man. He had a lot of issues in life to deal with. His wife was unsaved. She was bitter. She was hateful. She was mean. I could use a few more adjectives too, but. There's probably not a single one of us men that would envy his position when it comes to his wife in that circumstance. And whatever went on in his world, in his life, there was a time when he came to the point where he just felt like there was no use and just give up. And for a long time, he struggled with that. Until finally, he reached the point that he was willing to follow God, even if he never felt, personally felt anything. He would trust God and follow him. Now, if you know your Bible, you know the Spirit of God and the heart of God, you'll know that when a person responds with an unreserved commitment and desire, that God ultimately responds to that as well. And there came a point before he passed away that he knew that he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Abraham obeyed without drama or fanfare. You could say that he obeyed without excitement. He just simply put one foot in front of the other when deliberately following what God wanted. The fourth and final thing that I notice about this, he obeyed in faith. He obeyed without delay. He obeyed without reserve. He obeyed without drama and fanfare. And he obeyed in faith. That's a powerful statement. But we're looking at this man that God said was a friend of his. That's what God is telling us about Abraham, that he was a friend of God's. He obeyed in faith. What do you mean? How did he obey in faith? Well, he did every step of the way believing that God somehow was going to work out his purpose. He didn't understand how it could happen, but he was trusting in God. He took the fire. He took the wood. He took his traveling companions with him, and he said to them, "Stay here, and the boy and I will go yonder, and we shall return." There was something about his heart and faith, believing that God was going to work out the details. And when Isaac spotted began to speak up and say, "Dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice?" God will provide himself. We see it over and over here in the steps of Abraham, that he had a faith in God, a trust in God. It didn't matter what was going to happen. He was trusting in God. The Lord will provide. Isn't that incredible to think about a friend of God? He became known as a friend of God. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. If you're reading through the Bible, you probably just recently read that or will read that. If you're starting at the beginning and reading straight through this year. Abraham was called a friend of God. Not because he was some spectacular individual, but simply because he obeyed God. That's pretty simple. That brings it down to where you and I can reach and obtain the same status. simply because he obeyed. He obeyed. I know it tells us in James that he believed God, but that's what he was doing. He was believing and through that obeying. And he was called the friend of God. Let's be God's friends. Follow him. Let's stand together tonight.